As you find your way to your seats, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 14. And I really do hope that you have your Bibles with you so you can turn to this text. And to be honest with you, I'm going to let you know in advance, I will get there. It will be a while, but I will get there. But it's the root and foundation for everything I want to talk about today. And you know, I was thinking about this day. It's filled with emotion. You know, if you're a grandparent, there's the emotion of celebrating with your children and your grandchildren. If you're a mom today, there's the energy and the celebration of being a mom. There's a lot of good and great feelings that go on today, and it's a great reminder. You know, I think about my life. I've been really blessed. In some way, it's almost a blessing of being sheltered because, you know, I grew up with a godly mom. My mom and dad both grew up in South Georgia. They only had 11 grades in their school. They graduated after 11th grade. My mom graduated and at 16 got married. At 17 had me. You know, for the majority of my life, I had great instruction and love. For my mom, I grew up in a very strong Christian home. My mom was a stay-at-home mom most of her life and then became a nurse. And my dad was an accountant, but they always took us to church, poured Jesus into us, and taught us what it meant to live a life that honored the Lord. And so, you know, I was very blessed in that way. And then got married and been married almost 32 years, which is just kind of crazy to realize that I'm that old. Yeah, applaud for my wife. That's who you need to applaud. But I've got, you know, a godly wife. Who poured Jesus into our son and showed him the love of Christ. It's just not that way for everybody. And you have to realize on this day there's all these mixed emotions because some people grew up in a home where they didn't have, you know, a godly mom. You know, I've had some conversations today with some people that said, you know, I wished I would have grown up in a godly home with a godly mom, but I didn't. And so today is kind of a tough day for them. They start thinking about their childhood and about their life, and it's tough. And then there's some, you know, there are ladies here that want to be moms and haven't been able to be moms, and that's tough. And so in fact, some ladies avoid church altogether on Mother's Day because it just brings back a lot of emotions and feelings. And then, you know, some people in their growing up years went through abusive situations, and so their parents weren't godly examples, and not just godly examples, they were kind of torturous in their attitudes and actions toward their kids, and so it brings up a lot of resentment and hurt and pain when you start thinking about mom. And so you get all that in the mix today, and so all of that's thrown into the mix today when you start thinking about, okay, what do we talk about today? How do we talk about moms? And really what I want to do is I want to do a two-part message today. First part is today, and it's called The Inside Story, A Beautiful Woman. So whether you're a mom or not, a beautiful woman. And then on Father's Day, June 15th, we'll do the second part of it, and it's The Inside Story, A Powerful Man. And so I want to think about in those two terms, and this is the way I want to look at it. Let's just think about it this way. Today, you know, we look back in the past, and we can carry that around with us all we want to. But you can't go back and change it, can you? You can't go back and relive it. It always amazes me when they interview somebody on television and they look back and they say, do you have any regrets? And they say, I have no regrets. I'm like, seriously? Seriously, you have no regrets? I mean, can you just don't remember the past? Because I remember my past and I mean, like, you know, it had been terrible, but there are a lot of things I would go back and do differently. Anybody like that? I mean, there are some things that I have said I just would not say. It was not the smartest thing to do. And there are things I've done that I'd like to do differently. And probably most of us are that way. But we can't go back and relive those years. But we can, from this day forward, live out our life in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord. Okay? And so that's the way I want us to think about today. And let's think about this topic for the morning. What I want to do, I hope you have your bulletin. I want you to take it out. I want you to jot down 10 things that I think the Scripture teaches us about a beautiful woman, how to be a beautiful woman. And I want to start with this story. Years ago, there was a lady that was she was actually grew up in Europe, and as a child, she had a passion for the Lord, and had a love for Jesus, and she wanted to live that out. But she also had another dream, and that was a dream that a lot of girls have, and that is she wanted to meet her Prince Charming, and she wanted to get married, and she wanted to be a mom. But she felt like in her life that she had to make a choice. And she thought, you know what, my undivided loyalty and attention needs to go to the Lord. And she was Catholic, and so she joined an order and became a nun. When she became an adult, her ministry that God had used her to show his love and compassion to the world had become very popular, even though it was very sacrificial. And somebody asked her in an interview, they said, you know, you've often said these were your two dreams as a child, and you chose this one instead of becoming a mom and a wife. Why is that? And this is her response. This is exactly what she said. I became a nun because I was so ugly, I thought that no man would ever want me for his wife. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Can you imagine that anybody would ever say that or think about that, even as a child? She later became known as Mother Teresa. Her life touched millions of people. In fact, Malcolm Muggeridge, who's a British journalist, wrote a book entitled Something Beautiful for God. So what I want you to think about today is there is outlined in Scripture, and the list could go on and on and on. This is not exhaustive, but there are at least 10 things I think we need to take to heart and infuse into our life to live out just to be a beautiful person, a beautiful woman. And so jot these 10 things down. The first thing is this: a heart that seeks the Lord. A heart that seeks the Lord. Everything begins with our relationship with Jesus. Everything is focused and grows right out of that relationship with Jesus. You know, if we're going to love and live the way Jesus would love and live, then we've got to know him. And you know, if you're going to be a beautiful person in this world, display the love and compassion of Jesus, it all starts with knowing him. And when you come to know him, he knows you, he lives in you, and he lives out his life through you. It changes everything. And that's why Matthew 6:33 is so important, what Jesus said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, sometimes we get that inverted, and everything just gets messed up. We start seeking all these things, and seeking the Lord comes second. And that can even happen in a believer's life, that you know the Lord as your Savior, but you get distracted. You're pursuing career or financial gain or monetary treasure or this, that, or the other, and God gets shoved to the background, and that's when we get off course. That's when things go awry. And so it's a good reminder for us, if we're going to really live out this life the way God would want us to, as a beautiful person, a beautiful woman, then the first thing is first. Seek the Lord. Second, hands that guide others in righteousness. Hands that guide others in righteousness. Two passages I want to read, Titus chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. Listen to this. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. I think it's a good reminder to us that the beauty that we have in our life because of the treasure of God in our hearts is more caught than taught. It's not just something that we say, it's something that we live. And when people see you live it, it's a model, it's an example for others to live and to follow. And that's how we guide people in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is a famous passage. Paul's talking to Timothy, who he loves dearly, and he says to him this: I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. And just a reminder again that the faith that we treasure, the life that we treasure in Christ, is passed down by as we live it out. And it's certainly not something that we can bestow on somebody. But we live it before them so they can see the love and compassion of Jesus and come to know that same Jesus that we know and the same life that we enjoy. Third thing is this: feet that walk securely in faith. Proverbs 31, it gives us a description of a godly woman, and The writer of Proverbs says, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. It's a great line, isn't it? She laughs at the time to come. She don't even know what the time to come is going to bear, but she laughs at it. She's laughing at it, saying, you know what, it matters, but it doesn't matter what the future holds. Because God holds on to me. God's got me. He's got this whole situation, and I trust Him with it. You know, we can't see the future sometimes, and sometimes it gets so cloudy because things go on. It's like somebody just stirring up a muddy river, and we can't see past our face. But in the midst of that, we can look at the future, and she laughs because, hey, I know God's got this. In the end, He's going to be glorified. My faith and trust is in Him. It's another reminder to say that it's not a trust that is in our own abilities and strengths and wisdom and all that. I mean, we do the best that we can, and we know that in the end, though, we have to trust the future to God, to His guiding hand, to His great compassion, to His amazing love, to His wisdom. And that gives us the ability to laugh. I was thinking of this. I reminded a story that I've told you, but when I was in India, I was actually walking down the street of a small town, a million people in this town, Kota, India, with a guy named M.A. Thomas. And as we were talking, walking down the street, and the street's crowded with people. You can imagine a small South Georgia town that holds, you know, maybe 800 people. A million people live in there. That's what it was like. And he said, the man walking to us is an assassin. And he said that with an Indian accent. I didn't know what he was saying. And he was telling me that the guy in front of us that was walking toward us was an assassin. It was a hired killer. I'd never met one of those before, and it was a little intimidating to me. And I said, who was he hired to kill? And he said, he's been hired to kill me, M.A. Thomas. He said, one night, several months ago, we had an encounter. I was walking down the street, and he walked up to me with a sword in his hand. He said, I've come to kill you. I said, what did you? He said, I laughed at him. That would not be my first reaction. Somebody said that to me, but that was his first reaction. I said, what do you mean? He said, I said to him, well, go ahead and kill me. Then I will die and go to a place called heaven that God has prepared for me with streets of gold, and I will live for eternally with no pain, no sorrow, no sadness, and complete joy. I said, what did he do? He looked at me and said, maybe I won't kill you. So what are you going to do then? He said, well, I'll live here on the earth with complete trust of my future to the Lord, because one day I will live with Him in heaven, a place paved with streets of gold, and a mansion built for me where there's no pain, no sorrow, and I will live in complete joy. The picture of a beautiful woman is one who can stand facing the future and know that ultimately God has it and walk securely in faith. Fourth thing, arms that hold grace. Arms that hold grace. You know, when our son, as he grew up, if he had easy things, he would come to me. Easy questions, easy requests. If he had big requests, tough things, he would go to Mom. Because Mom held grace, Dad held justice. You know what I mean? And a child always knows, okay, I'm going to go to the person that's going to be gracious and giving, the person I have the greatest. And that's why athletes, when the camera goes on them, they always say, hi, Mom. They never say, hi, Dad. I would say, hi, Mom. I thought it's totally discriminatory. And, you know, I told Micah growing up, if you ever become a professional athlete, it better be hi, Mom and Dad when the camera comes over there. Because, hey, we're in this too. There's something about a mom's heart and her arms that hold grace. In fact, in Proverbs 31, it says this in verse 11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Down in verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. There's something about a mom that just holds grace for us. Number five, a face that looks to the Lord for direction. We already talked about the future and decision-making, but you know what? If we're going to be beautiful and how we work our lives out in relationship with others, we've always got to look to the Lord for direction. And Proverbs chapter 3 is one of the most famous passages on this subject. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Man, it is an incredible passage, a great reminder that to be beautiful, live out a beautiful life, then instead of trusting our own instincts or our gut feelings or our own intuition, we're leaning on Him. And we're going to find direction in His Word and through His Spirit who lives in us so that He's glorified. And then number six, eyes that never fail to look out for us. You know, there's one thing that you can know about mom, and I think the older we get, we realize what a treasure is to have a mom that is always looking out for you or a lady that's looking out for you. But the truth is, if we're going to be beautiful, then we've got to look out for others. In Proverbs 31, it says, "She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." I mean, if we're going to exemplify what beauty really looks like, then we're going to have to look out for others. Number seven, knees that find the earth to reach heaven. You know, when you think about the people that are in relationship with you, ladies, a husband or children, or brothers and sisters or friends that you treasure their relationship and their gift to your life, one of the greatest things you can do for them is to pray for them. In fact, you know, we call it St. Augustine, Florida. You guys know where that is, St. Augustine? There was a person before there was a place, okay? The person is St. Augustine. We've just added a southern twang to it and made it Augustine. But St. Augustine wrote Confessions, probably one of the most influential Christians in all of Christian history. But when he was young, he was not a believer. In fact, he rejected God and pushed him away. And his mom was faithful to pray. And when he was remembering his mom in his confessions, he wrote this. He said, "Now gone from my sight, who for years had wept over me that I might live in God's sight." And that was one thing that was really true for me. And there's a lot my mom told me, and a lot she shared with me, and a lot she showed me. But one thing I knew about her, particularly as an adult that I paid attention to, was every day she was praying for me. And I remember the day that she died, it was 6 years ago. I went home with my dad because I wanted to make sure he slept through the night. God had granted that prayer of mine because he fell asleep as soon as his head hit the pillow. But I didn't sleep. And I was thankful the next day when the sun rose, but I realized when I got up, it was the first day in my life that my mom wasn't on her knees praying for me to start the day. It was an odd feeling. And just let you know, the real beauty in life, if you're going to show it, is shown in the greatest ways when you're just faithful in prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Man, what a reminder just to be working in prayer. And listen, it's work, isn't it? I say this all the time, but it's really true. I've never met any person that told me they prayed too much. But I've met hundreds of people who say they pray too little. It's not work to get up off our knees. It's work to get down on our knees. But it is the greatest of work. Number eight, ears that hear, even when we complain. You know, sometimes we think to be a beautiful person that we've got to be the one with the greatest wisdom. Always got the answer for everything. But listen to what the scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 19. "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Man, what a great gift it is just to be able to listen to others with eyes that listen. You know what I'm talking about? You can tell when somebody is engaged in what you're sharing with them, and you can see the love and compassion in their eyes because they're watching you, they're looking at you, they're hearing you. Number nine, words that share God's wisdom even in tough times. Proverbs 31:26, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." You know, it was interesting when you think about, there was a movie a few years ago called The End of the Spear that told the story of Jim Elliot, who went to the Aka Indians, and on one of his first encounters with them was killed. He went down there to share with them the gospel. His wife, Elizabeth, and their daughter, she took up the cause and with love and compassion went to share the gospel and finish what Jim had started with the Aka Indians. And she continues to share wisdom through her books that God has given to her heart. It's a reminder for us that to share real wisdom is to share God's wisdom with those we love the most and with the world. And then here's the tenth thing. A beautiful woman has a love that never gives up. A love that never gives up. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 and 8 says this. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's an amazing kind of love, isn't it? Now, all that leads us to our text. Mark chapter 14. Jesus is headed to the cross. He's in his last week. Mark records this episode. Verse 3. While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment, a pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. Now, I don't even read a passage. I don't even know if we can really get the scene, but you can just imagine Jesus is out at the house of Simon, who was a leper. That's one of the things that's burned in my mind after being in India and going to a leper colony and seeing people who are suffering from leprosy, modern day. It's something you never forget. But you can imagine Jesus being in this man's house and others reclining at the table, his disciples there, this woman who John tells us in his gospel, in John 11 and John 12, that it's Mary, walks in, has this vase filled with ointment. So costly, so it's about a year's wages, if you could imagine that. Imagine having a vase of $50,000 worth of ointment. She breaks it and pours it over his head. Obviously, she knew what was coming. Those around saw it, and they were going to do the noble thing. In fact, it says in verse 4, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. They embarrassed her. Here she came in with a beautiful heart, knowing what Jesus was about to suffer. And she anoints him with oil. It's very costly. No telling what she sacrificed to get that. But she did it, and those around the table, even those closest to Jesus, didn't get it. And they said, what are you doing? We could have sold that, and look at all the things we could have done for the poor. The thing was, she did get it. And in verse 6 it says, but Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? Listen to how he puts this. She has done a beautiful thing to me. She has done, what a line. She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you will not always have me. She's done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. That's almost startling. We're in the last week of Jesus. We're in the Passion Week. It's all about Jesus. And he sees this lady. She comes in, breaks this vase, pours out this ointment, a whole year's wages. Everybody's ridiculing. And he said, she has done a beautiful thing for me. He's saying, you know what? She gets the gospel. She gets the hope of the world is the gospel of Jesus. She gets it. So she'll trade the most expensive thing she has to share it and to show the love for the one who extends it. And Jesus, in front of all his disciples now, these are the guys that are right there. They've been in the mix of all this stuff. They didn't get it. And they're like, what are you doing? And in that crowd, Jesus looked at her and said, she has done beautiful thing to me. Ladies, this is the challenge to me of the day. Live every day like it was a vase full of precious oil. When you get up in the morning, break it and live every moment like it's a drop of oil, anointing the head of Jesus, so that when the day is done, He would say to you, "She has done a beautiful thing to me." You see, what we need to get is what she shared with Jesus on that day came from her heart. See, this is the lesson. The lesson is the beauty we see in what she does comes from a beautiful heart that loves Jesus. What she did with her hands came straight from her heart. The beauty that others saw, that Jesus praised, was born inside. That's why I love what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3 when he says this: "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear." Now listen, he's not condemning any of those. He's not saying not to braid your hair. He's not saying don't buy jewelry. He's not saying don't wear clothes. Okay, he's not saying any of that. Clothes are a good thing. Amen? Amen. What's he saying? He said, don't think that that's beauty. See, he's saying, do not let your adorning be external, but let your adorning be hidden, be the hidden person of the heart. Now listen to how he words this, with the imperishable. I mean, it can never die. The imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in which God's sight is very precious. You know what he's telling us, ladies? I think sometimes we get caught up in the wrong thing. And I think we've done a very good job at that in our culture in America. We look at the way someone does their hair, the clothes that they wear, the jewelry, and we say, now that's beauty. Now that's not beauty. God's telling us in His Word, real beauty is imperishable. It's in the heart. And it is precious in God's sight. So what He's telling us is every single woman can be beautiful because it starts in the heart. Now, today, we do celebrate with moms. And if you're a mom here today, we pray that you will have a happy Mother's Day. It's a gracious gift that God's given you and trusted to you to be a mom and to show His love to others. But let us never forget, beauty isn't in the way we do our hair. Beauty isn't in the jewelry we wear. Beauty isn't found in the clothes and the styles that we wear. Beauty is expressed with our hands when it's born in our hearts. The story of this mom might just help us get a little picture of what real beauty looks like. Here's the picture of a beautiful woman.
เธอชื่อเจนเป็นนักศึกษาปีที่4ราคาขายตอนเธอเป็นคนเก็บตัวไม่สูงสิงกับใครพอถึงเวลาเลิกเรียนเธอก็มักจะรีบกลับบ้านเร็วเสมอคนก็นินทากันว่าเธอมีลูกตั้งแต่อายุ18บางคนก็บอกว่าเธอมีลูกกับเสีย
รับสอนเด็กป่ะ
เธอเป็นผู้หญิงธรรมดาธรรมดาคนหนึ่งไม่ใช่คนสวยไม่ได้โดดเด่นอะไรแต่รอยยิ้มที่เธอมีให้จูนมันทำให้เธอเป็นผู้หญิงที่สวยมากสำหรับผม
เจนทำไมเธอไม่บอกความจริงทุกคนไปเลยอ่ะ
ความจริงเรื่องอะไร
เรื่องจูน
ก็ไม่เห็นต้องบอกว่าจะบอกไหมอ่ะ
คนอื่นก็จะมองเจนไม่ดีนะคนอื่นก็จะมองเจนไม่ดี
ให้คนอื่นเขามองเราไม่ดียังดีกว่ามองจูนไม่ดีป่ะ